Shalom and welcome to another program of Jewish Soul Music. I'm your host, Charlie Bernhout. This particular program will feature an interview that I did with cantor Harvey Waldman, the late cantor who passed away just a couple of months ago. He was the son of cantor Label Waldman. The interview took place in February of 2011, 8 years ago. And I am dedicating this to the memory of Harvey and to Labela. So without further ado, let's go back again to 8 years. This is, I'm sure you'll find this of interest, particularly to fans of the great Labela Waldman.
Soul Music. I'm your host, Charlie Bernhout. Each week I try to bring you the best of a mixture of everything from the golden oldies of the 60s and the 70s and the 80s or whatever, and now we're Chazanis, and thank you so much for your feedback. I got a lot of interesting comments. I'm not going to discuss them this evening because I want to get right to a two-hour special about the cantor Labela Waldman, one of the greats of the golden age of Chazanis. Yesterday, Harvey Waldman, cantor Harvey Waldman, came to my apartment and we recorded this two-hour special in honor of his great father, Labela Waldman. So without any further ado, let's get on to the interview. There'll be a lot of stories and some of his great recordings of Labela Waldman. I know we have a lot of fans out there of Labela. Again, thank you so much for your feedback and your comments about my survey. I'm very pleased to have with me once again Harvey Waldman, the son of the great cantor Labela Waldman. A few years back, about 15 years ago, we did a Waldman special, and I'm so pleased that we're preparing for a second one. Good evening, Harvey.
Good evening, Charlie. It's a pleasure to be here with you again.
Good. Thanks for agreeing to do this special about your father, who was one of the greats of the golden era of Chazanis. Before we get into the music, I know there's a few things that we'd like to discuss. First of all, why don't you tell us a little bit about your father's background and his history with Chazanis? When was he born, and where did he daven, and so forth?
Well, my father was born in 1907, and he passed away at a very early age of 62. And in 1969, and before that, he was still in the prime. His voice was still in its prime, as you will hear soon on some of the tapes and CDs that you play, because that comes from a live davening in Chicago at the Loop Synagogue. My father was a very modest man. Whenever I would say something about his davening, he would turn red.
Really?
Yeah. I never heard him speak about himself. But yet there were always chazonim coming into the house. I wasn't interested in chazonis until I was maybe 17 or 18. I never sang as a kid, as most chazonim do.
Well, I know your dad performed at many weddings. You didn't accompany him at the weddings?
No, I drove him to weddings. I sang in kiddie shows when I was 15, but chazonis didn't, you know, I didn't understand what the fuss was at the time. Until I delved into it at around the age of 17 and 18, around that time. And I saw many people coming and going into the house. And,
where was this, in Brooklyn?
In Brooklyn, yes. We lived in Brooklyn for a long time. Then we moved out to Bell Harbor in the 60s.
By the way, your dad was one of the few of the greats who was born in America, from what I understand.
I believe he's the only of the legendaries that I believe was.
Right.
When I read biographies about Cantors, that's what I hear.
Sure, most of them were in Eastern Europe and the like. Yeah.
But his first language, I'm sure, was Yiddish.
Uh-huh.
So he came from a Galiziana family.
Gotcha.
And since we our last program, so many things have happened. We have an internet. We have so many sites popping up.
Oh, you even have a blog, labelwaldman.blogspot.com.
Well, that just began.
Uh-huh.
And I met a gentleman by name of Mordechai Sobel.
Yes, legendary.
Mordechai Sobel came to my house one day. I had never known of him. And he said, I was living at the time in East Brunswick near my shul. And he came to my home. And I think his first words after our greetings were, "What kind of voice was that?" I didn't understand what he meant. I'm looking at him, and he says, "You know, I won Edenobi," he says, "but I received my scholarship at Juilliard because of your father." I said, "Well, how would I know that? This is the first time I'm meeting you. How would I know that?" He says, "Well, I did his version of Leficha Natun Chayovim, and I won first prize."
Interesting.
"And that's how I got my scholarship." So because of his rendition of Leficha, which was written by Israel Shor, who also wrote Shia Bona Beis HaMikdash.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I played Shor about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and he's singing his selections, and several people mentioned they didn't realize that Shor was the composer.
Yeah.
Yes. So that's interesting about Sobel, and since then you've had, I'm sure, a lot of contact with Mordechai.
Well, Mordechai invited me to a special memorial concert that he was having in memory of my father, which was going to take place in the Mann Auditorium. And this, of course, was a shock to me. He said, "We have it all planned out."
Wow.
"And I'd like you to be the guest of honor."
Wow. What year was this about? Or how many years ago?
I'd say about 10 years ago.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. Maybe 8 years ago. And when I walked into the auditorium, I stayed at the Dan, by the way. He made special arrangements. And even took a few of my nieces with me. I have one niece who lives in Israel. She made Aliyah.
Right.
And they came to the concert, too. They sat in the front row. It's just too bad I never recorded it.
Well, didn't Sobel record it?
No, he never recorded it.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, you know what? I'm sure there were people in the audience who recorded it. We'll have to... anybody listening to the program who was at that wonderful event, if you have the recording, you got to contact me so I can make sure that Harvey gets that. But so you were at the concert?
At the concert. The soloists were Dudu Fischer, who I met for the first time.
Right.
Chaim Herstik.
Oh, yes. Chaim Eliezer Herstik, yes.
Moshe Shulaf.
Yes.
And Ari Klein.
Okay. You had some good...
And, of course, he had... Dudu told me a very funny story I think you'd get a kick out of.
Okay.
I had a chance to talk to all of them afterwards to thank them for doing such a marvelous job. And And Duda said something very funny that I thought. He said, you know, the first Chazonishek piece that I ever learned was your father's Ruz of the Shabbos.
Your father's Ruz of the Shabbos.
Yeah, he said, I never knew that Pinchik recorded the Ruz of the Shabbos. That was the first piece. He says, and he goes on to say how his father was a big, big follower of my father's work. And then Shulov was a very nice man, very nice guy.
Yes.
He came over and he says, you know, I did the, he did the Odom Yisod the Meyof. He says, I almost didn't make it vocally.
Oh.
Which is quite a modest thing to say. The range on it.
Mm-hmm.
My father was considered a lyric baritone, but he could go down to bass, and his high tessitura took him up into, I think he had about a 2.5 octave range.
Really?
But his top notes, which you will hear later on in the tapes, sound like, if they're produced right, and sound like A and B flats. As I said before, I didn't get into Chazonot. And I was wondering why these people, until I was about 17, but people were always coming into the house.
Mm-hmm.
I know one particular man was Maxie Pollock, who was his choir leader. Maxie was looking over the records. We had discs on our hi-fi.
Sure.
And he was looking over the disc. Most of them were transliterations of Chazon Hashem pieces. And he called me over. He said, Harvey, what's this piece? I can't make it out. I said, let me take a look. I said, Charlie.
Okay.
I said, Maxie, that's Besame Mooch. We were dancing here.
Okay.
Last week. And that gentleman, an elderly gentleman by the name of Beinhorn, would come to our house. Must have been a chazan at one time.
Yes, I think I have some old recordings of Beinhorn. Yes.
Beinhorn, I want to clear up. Beinhorn was never a teacher of my father, which has been something spread around.
Mm-hmm.
He did write
mm-hmm.
for my father, and I believe that the best compositions that my father did were never recorded, like his Ahava Rabba, which it's too long to really record a number like that,
yep.
Or Bame Madlikin.
A lot of people don't realize that the early records, the discs, had time limitations on them. This is before the introduction of 33 RPMs or even tapes. If you go back to the 78s, which my collection is started with the old Victrolas, the great recordings were limited to perhaps 4 or 5 minutes, and even Pinchik's original Rosa de Shabbos is on two sides. You had to know to flip it over to... actually, some people used to just play the first side, not realizing that. I think I once did that also, not realizing that the second side was a continuation. That's back in the early days. So there were those limitations.
Yes, in fact, one of his recordings called Nidre is cut. He doesn't even do a full Kol Nidre.
Mm-hmm.
His accompanist, Harry Lubin, went on to Hollywood to write for the movies.
Really?
And if you see old movies, you might see the name Harry Lubin.
I see.
Because he told me that Harry Lubin was just a fantastic musician.
Really?
So,
was he involved in that great movie that your dad did about the Chazon Proba? That's classic from the 30s, I believe. And your dad played all the different roles of the different Chazonim coming in for... an audition.
Well, there was a gentleman by the name of Joe Seiden,
okay,
who decided that he was going to produce, as they called them in those days, Jewish talkies. Now, 1929 was the first English sound movie, The Jazz Singer.
Right.
And Sidon started in 1932 with his Jewish talkies.
Interesting.
And I have in my home two marquees. One spells Waldman wrong, with two N's at the end.
Uh-huh.
And Secunda is spelled also incorrectly. One was a Passover feast written by Shalom Secunda. And if you have seen this this movie about the Chazonim of Prabhu,
yes,
it was a Secunda composition.
Oh, really? It's so classic. Your dad looks so young and youthful, and of course, in the end, when he comes out as the jazz, the poop-a-doop, this is what the public will. It was great.
He wasn't too proud of that, I must tell you the truth.
Really?
He wasn't too happy. The voice was not developed. He was still young.
He was very young, yes, you can
yeah,
say.
Yeah, and even though at the age of 9, I understand, he officiated at the pulpit with a choir.
In Brooklyn?
I don't know where that was. I imagine it might have been in the Lower East Side.
Gotcha.
How they allowed children under the age of 13 to officiate, I still don't understand. But when it came to a Wunderkind, I guess they made exceptions.
By the way, do you have any brothers or sisters?
I had two brothers who had passed on.
Oh, sorry. Were they involved with Chazanis as you were?
No, my one brother was a rabbi.
Oh, okay.
And one brother was I have a twin. Had a twin.
Wow. I'm sorry. Sorry to hear that.
Trumpet player.
Really?
A fantastic trumpet player. He played with. In fact, he met Harry James at one point.
Uh-huh.
He played with Xavier Cugat on tour.
Interesting.
And he also walked in on Gower Champion one day while he was shooting Carnival. And Gower looked at him and said, "What do you do? What are you doing here?" He said, "Well, I played a trumpet. I thought maybe you can use me." "Well, let me hear you do something." He played trumpet, and sure enough, he wrote a part in for him.
Interesting. Did any of the grandchildren find their way into Chazanis at all?
No. In fact, I must tell you that my children think that I sound like my father. Now, isn't that funny?
Well, that's a great compliment, obviously.
Well, that's how much they know about Chazanis.
Okay. Okay. How did it feel being the son of such a great chazan?
Once again, it was late, and I know people were making a big fuss about him coming into the house and writing music for him. Don't forget that he was on the radio for 25 years, live, every Friday.
I didn't know that.
Every Friday and every Sunday.
Really?
So his repertoire had to be huge. It required many people. Avram Singer almost wrote for him alone. And today everybody's singing Singer's numbers.
Well, and Singer,
Avram Singer
wrote all those great Yiddish selections, and I'm sure we'll hear a couple of them. But there must be recordings of those shows. Have you ever tried to search the old broadcasts?
I've never been able to find. You know, I recorded on my tape recorder. I had an old Revere tape recorder, and I used to record his broadcasts. I have no idea where they are.
Oh, my goodness.
I must tell
treasures,
you.
Treasures.
When it came for me to this decide to become a chazan, which was in my 20s, because I was heading into finance at the time. I was doing both at the same time. I made the mistake of trying to copy him, vocally too. It took me a while to develop, to find out who I was vocally.
Interesting.
So that didn't happen until the late 30s.
When you say the late 30s, you mean your age?
My
age, 30s.
My
yes,
age.
Yes, because you was in the 1930s.
Right. My age, I was in the late 30s.
Got it. Okay.
And I went from teacher to teacher until one fantastic woman who sang in the Hungarian Opera Company. Happened to be in Staten Island near the shul where I was davening at the time.
Interesting.
And she said, I'll help you undo the damage.
You know, Harvey, it's so important for these young chazanim to have a good teacher. I personally am not aware of, who are the great ones, the good ones, the not so good ones. I just know that a bad teacher can help ruin your voice as well as a good teacher can help make the voice. And it's so important to go to the right teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And these young fellas really don't understand the importance. I shouldn't say they don't. Some of them do, to keep up with the lessons, because I know even the greats of today still go for lessons. They know that they must constantly be coached to make sure that they're on the right track.
I truly believe that my father was a self-made man as far as vocal. I know he didn't take lessons.
Okay. Well, there are exceptions. Of course, there are exceptions.
As a child.
Of course, there are exceptions. But
I don't recall him going for voice lessons.
Right.
I have a feeling that he was greatly influenced by Yossel Rosenblatt. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about that. And I heard during my life many stories that he told me about Rosenblatt and the involvement that he had with Rosenblatt.
Right.
In fact, the last concert that Rosenblatt gave before leaving for Israel was in Richmond Hill, and he called my father to participate with him, and my father had two engagements at the time, and said, I'll be down there. And he came in and he was listening to Rosenblatt sing. And then Rosenblatt called him up to the pulpit.
Mm-hmm.
And introduced him. He says, he introduced him to the audience and said, I'll be going to Israel. And
wow.
I want to leave you a young chazan who I think you will enjoy, and I don't know if I'm going to be returning.
Wow.
Since then...
By the way, that was 1933, because Rosenblatt died in 33, and your dad was born in 1906, did you say?
1907.
1907. So he was 26 years old at the time.
I never...
No, the
numbers.
No, I'm just realizing. I mean, he was really...
He was on the radio already. He had made some movies.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure his style had not
developed. Right.
But I also was told that during the time that my father's voice changed, that he led a choir... Rosenblatt.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how long, where it was, but I did hear that. And my father would tell me stories that when Rosenblatt would sing, there'd be 1,000 people in the synagogue, and Caruso had his special seat there, by the way, and 2,000 people outside the synagogue trying to just hear him.
Yes.
And the policemen had to come out on horseback.
Wow.
And you see his stories like this.
Yes. Well, we are ready to play the first selection, which is a favorite of yours, I know. It's mine, Zadie's Cholam. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how this particular selection played such a role in the life of your dad?
Well, I know it was... It couldn't be the disc or the music itself. I believe it was sheet music that made its way all over the world. And his picture was on the sheet. In those days, they had sheet music.
Yes.
And his picture appeared on the sheet music as though he was the composer. But he wasn't the composer. It was Avram Singer, who was the composer. Mm-hmm. And the man who read Torah for me in my most recent shul told me the story that he was in a concentration camp. And the Germans did not harm him. In fact, they came to him very often. They wanted to hear him sing that particular song.
Fascinating.
And that's the second time I heard that story.
Interesting.
So,
For those of the listeners who are not fluent in Yiddish, and I'm one of them, why don't you just tell us what the song relates?
Well, it's my dream of Grandpa, or my grandpa's mm-hmm. dream. He's dreaming of Grandpa, and he's asking his grandpa, well, how are things up in heaven? How are the Jews being treated up there? And the voice comes back and says, well, very busy. Things are very busy up here. My shalichim, my messengers are going up and down, down and up, up and down. It's a rash and a ketimel. It's very noisy up here, he said. But the Jews have left the service of my service, and they will suffer. It's important that they get back to following my ways so that they do not have a strife back on earth. And that's the basic theme of the song.
Any idea when it was recorded? About what year?
No, I don't.
Okay. So let's hear a classic that's in Yiddish.
By the way, it's Mordechai Sobel added an orchestra
uh-huh.
to this particular rendition.
Okay, so let's hear this upgraded version of Mein Zadie's Cholam, my dream of my grandfather or my grandfather's dream.
Es ist ein Raschlagetimmel, bei mir Himmel. Thank you. For next Slichus on the program. You'll consider it.
it's improvisation and the beautiful.
Well, there are two pieces that we have.
Yeah, so this will be a forespice of
this what's to come. Hanashama Loch, and later on you have
Moradivishmaya. Right. Okay, so let's go on to Hanashama Loch, and this was recorded in 1967 at the Chicago Loop Synagogue.
Yeah, this will give you a good idea of what it was like to have a choir. You know, years ago, Charlie, every shul had a cantor and choir.
Yes.
It just wasn't the cantor with a choir going,
Yes.
Yeah. The choir actually had a part to do.
Yes.
And they would work together back and forth.
Sure.
And this will give you an idea of what it sounded like.
Just as an aside, regular listeners know that I'm a proponent of choirs, and if you read the biographies of all the great cantors from the Golden Age, one of the things that runs through consistently is that they all sang in choirs as young children, and something happens within them, I believe, when you catch someone at a young age who really believes what they're singing in particular. But if you get someone 9, 10, 11, 12 years old and they're singing in a choir, particularly if they're singing with one of the greats, they themselves find a way to become great.
Well, I have a first cousin that lived in Borough Park, and he sang a vimale at my father's weddings and also sang in Ben Friedman's choir.
Uh-huh.
And with Koussevitzky.
Really?
He went on to become a chazan.
Really?
In addition to his business.
Interesting.
And he's, I don't know if he's still singing out in Rockaway.
Is he a Waldman?
Yeah, he's Dennis Waldman is his name.
Interesting.
And Dennis is a very fine chazan. He followed Cantor Singer in Robert Gordas was the rabbi there, very famous rabbi who wrote many books.
Gotcha. Okay, let's hear from a live davening, 1967, the great Label Waldman with Hanashama Loch.
Oh,
As you can tell, that was from a live davening, and very, very interesting. Very interesting.
Well, it gives you an idea of how the cantor worked with the choir. But today, all you hear are pieces and compositions of the Chazunim alone, with the choirs just giving responses.
Well, I know that you're a big proponent of the idea of improvisation also.
Oh, improvisation to me is what makes a great chazan. The person who is able to improvise on the spot. Take off. I would compare it to somebody like Ella Fitzgerald in Englishfield or Tony Bennett. They regarded as great artists because of the ability to improvise.
Just as an aside, I just got in the email a friend Alex Klein, who I interviewed a few months back from England. They're having a seminar in England, in London. And I believe that Mortzen and Schulhoff are coming, and one of the main topics that they'll be discussing is the art of improvisation. And I wrote back to him and I said, I really want to get a copy of that because I'd like to give it to some of the young cantors who are certainly could use the training.
I recall one Shabbos davening in Rockaway. Terrible shul to daven in Auvergne. I didn't want my father to daven the Shabbos there, but he did. And a fellow by the name of Noah Scholl went closer to the Umid, and he came back to where we were sitting. The people next to me were a bunch of chazonim, all with tape recorders. And he said, "Did you hear that improv? Did you hear him improvise? Do you realize what he did?"
Interesting.
You know,
Noah is really one of the outstanding proponents of Chazanis. I've been trying to get him to do an interview. One day, I hope to be able to have him come on. But
recently, I called. I had a wedding. They asked for a choir.
Uh-huh.
Sing at my wedding, so I called this fellow Berger.
Oh, Leon
Berger.
Stay tuned and come back in a few minutes for the second hour.